Group 1 racing Friday night at Moonee Valley and Saturday at Sandown. It is a spring carnival that is taking the most perfect shape with all the key horses winning races already. We're not going to be there for the Caulfield Cup. We're not going to be there for the Cox Plate. What chance of being at Flemington and at least a few numbers for Melbourne Cup Day? Giles Thompson is the Chief Executive of Racing Victoria. Giles, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Jared. Good to be here.
What hope, Melbourne Cup Day? A few patrons on track.
We have some hope, Jared. That's the key. And we have the hope because of the roadmap that was announced on Sunday. And it's all about getting up to that 80% vaccination rate. And if we get to that, then there's a chance that we'll have some crowds during that cup week. And so we need to get the vaccination rates up, and then the VRC need to work with the health department and government to get their plans signed off. And I know they're planning those at the moment, and they're working hard to try and make it possible, if it is possible.
So how disappointing for Caulfield and Moonee Valley as a starting point to miss the markers on the roadmap?
Oh, hugely disappointing, Jody. This is the second spring in a row, and I think this time last year, we'd sort of come to accept what was going to happen in spring racing 2020, and just thought if we get through this year, you know, we're through it. And that's turned out not to be the case. So for the second year in a row, to have a major disruption through the spring racing carnival is a serious blow, not just to Moonee Valley and Caulfield, but also country clubs right across the state, as well, of course, as the VRC.
So the Flemington Carnival Derby Day is Saturday the 30th of October. So I think, is it lockdown supposed to end the October 26th, 25th, 26th, yes. And then Cup Day is the 2nd. It's right on the edge, isn't it? This is going to be a close run thing.
Really tight. It's really tight. And I think we hit the last deadline we had, which I think was first back 70%, we hit that early. So I think this will require us to get ahead of the curve. And I've been down to a vaccination centre this morning with my young son. And you know, people are lining up. People are doing the right thing. And hopefully we can get there.
The plan, what do you reckon the best case scenario is?
Oh, I think best case scenario realistically is a good crowd on Derby Day. I think that is the best case scenario. I mean, something dramatic could change and you could get a massive acceleration in the coming weeks, and there might be some opportunities in the country in advance of that. But I think realistically the best case scenario is Derby Day. Probably Cup Day is the realistic best case scenario, and we go from there. Now, of course, by the time we get towards the end of November, then we're a lot more optimistic about that. So things like the Zipping Classic Day towards on the 27th of November, and the Jericho Cup Day down at Warrnambool on the 28th of November, a lot more optimistic about them. But it just looks like it might just be a little bit too soon for key dates of the spring.
It feels to me really important, Giles. This is a grim time in Melbourne, and the last couple of days have sort of emphasised that further. It feels important to me that there are some Melburnians at the Cup, given its historic place in our culture and in our psyche. Do you have that sense?
I think so, but you and I have got to be a bit careful about that, because we're in our sort of sporting / racing bubble, and we think that's important. Now, it's only going to be allowable, I think, if the broader community is comfortable with it. And the broader community gets comfortable with it, I think, if the vaccination rates are up at those levels. That's the roadmap. And therefore, in that environment, I think it's really important. I think it's really important from a symbolic perspective that Victoria is getting out of this. Such an iconic, the major event on our sporting calendar, to have people there and on the rails is really, really symbolic and really important. But we're very cognizant of, we are part of a broader community that is going through a really tough time at this point, and we don't want to be overstepping our position in that regard.
The carnival is underway, so it doesn't grant a whole lot of flexibility. Have you had any thought towards trying to nudge things back a couple of weeks to get the best possible outcome?
I mean, we've had thoughts about it and we've had discussions about it, but of course, there's at the core of our sport are the horses, and the trainers that have been preparing those horses for the big features. And that train really leaves the station several months ago.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult, unless you have to, very difficult to change those programs. You know, people are targeting particular dates to have the horses at peak form, and it's not fair on them or the horses to try and change that around a bit, unless you absolutely have to, as we saw actually the Sydney Carnival did in the autumn when the rains hit really hard and made it impossible to race. In those scenarios, you can be flexible, but only a week or so. But the programs are set. They're well underway by this time of year, and it's a bit too late for all of that.
Last week, you announced the proactive step to mandate vaccination for participants in the racing industry. And I guess we're seeing a visible demonstration on the streets in another walk of life as to those who are opposed to such a measure. Have you had resistance within the racing circles?
Well, I was prepared for a bit more of a backlash than we've had, I think. And I think that a few reasons for that. One is because I think people understand the health and safety angle on it. You know, our participants understand that more broadly, and that's why they actually, over two-thirds of them, were supportive of mandatory vaccination when we asked them that direct question. They also understand that this is how we minimise the potential for disruption of our sport. You know, we have had, for example, yesterday, issues out at Flemington and to a lesser extent Caulfield, where there has been exposures to someone who tested positive. We've had to lock down those stables. There's been a huge amount of testing going on, a lot of tracing work going on. It's a massive operation for the last 36 hours. We think we're okay so far. The tests have been coming back negative. The race meeting will happen this afternoon at Flemington. It just goes as a reminder just how fragile this is. And the vaccinations help us through that massively. Everyone in our sport knows that if we keep racing, the damage is reduced. There's still issues with lack of crowds. But if we stop racing, then there's a lot of pain right away across the sport and the state.
Do you think you'll have participants who either stand out or you'll have to stand down through refusal to vaccinate?
I think there's inevitably some of that going to happen, Jared. I think, you know, we've got, not least because we've got a huge number of participants.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got 25,000 people who work in the state. We've got, you know, 900-ish trainers, 200-ish jockeys. And, of course, within that, there are going to be people who are going to be anti getting a vaccination. We'll make that decision and they won't be able to attend racetracks as a result. Now, it's a very small number, though, I think, and we've done a fair bit of work now with our own teams at Racing Victoria, which is about 450 people, including all the race day operations people, and it's a very, very small number of people who are either now not deciding to get a vaccination or who are medically exempt, a handful. So, yeah, the numbers are low.
Giles, good luck over the next few weeks as you guide us towards the Flemington Carnival in particular.
Thanks, Jared. Hopefully it'll be uninterrupted and it'll be some great stories, I'm sure.
Fingers crossed. The Chief Executive of Racing Victoria, Giles Thompson.